Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Friday, March 8, 2024. I hope you've had a great week. I hope you have a big weekend in store. You know what I mean? Like a big weekend. Like, this is the weekend, you know, forget about everybody else. You're going to do your thing. You know, let the kids go. Let someone else take care of them. If you don't have kids, if you have a girlfriend, if you have a boyfriend and you're sick of them, let them know. Say, this is my weekend. I'm going to do things my way. No longer am I going to do what you want to do. I don't want to sit around and do that. I don't want to be forced to watch this. I'm doing things my way. I listen to a podcast that is part comedy, part U.S. military and American history, hypocrisy, and part self-help. And this guy told me, didn't tell me, spoke into the world, and it connected with me on the wavelength on which I've been traveling for the last several weeks, thinking about us, our relationships, our connections. It connected with me and made me feel like, you know what, this is my weekend. I'm going big. I'm doing it my way. I'm not sick of you. I'm not sick of that. I'm just sick of not doing me, okay? I want you to embrace that spirit. I want you to communicate that to whoever needs to know it in your life. This weekend is for you. You know what? It's time for you to have a little you time, all right? You embrace this weekend. Have a big one. If people want to stand by your side like they've promised you they would, tell them, see me on Monday. Show me how much you care about me on Monday. If you're a parent taking care of 1, 2, 3, 5 kids, say to your kids, you know what? If you all really do need me, if you do value me, see me on Monday. But this weekend is about me. And then turn around the proverbial do not disturb message on your phone, on your hotel door of your life, and just say, I'm out. I'm doing exactly what I want to do this weekend. I don't even deserve it. Deserve is such a childish, well, it's probably rooted in great equity theory and adjusting to the norms of the group. So deserve does make sense. I deserve it. Tell them this. It's not some Catholic hang up about, I deserve it. I deserve to make a little bit of money. I deserve to, you know, have what other people, I don't mean deserve in that way. I mean you're entitled to it. And I also don't mean like you just were born on third base entitled to it. I mean, you've put in a goddamn shift. You're entitled to a weekend that's just about you, and communicate that to everyone around you. Communicate that to anyone in your life who might impede that, who think that they're entitled to more of your time, more of pulling you into their bullshit interests and distractions that you really are just going along with because you're thoughtful, you're considerate, and you don't like to make people feel worse about the dumb shit that they enjoy. This is the weekend they need to know. You're not going along with it anymore. You listen to the Getting My Act Together podcast, brought to you by RiversideFM.Anchor.Spotify for podcasters.Sweden. You listen here. You listen here. It's your weekend, okay? I want you to enjoy it. I don't know. If you hear a certain joy in this host's voice, I have to tell you, a big part of it is I've been on a media, I don't know what's going on in the world. I've sort of not been paying attention to the world for 6 days. Since about Sunday, I've checked out mentally. I know that there was a Super Tuesday in the United States of America. And in the spirit of having a big weekend, and doing what I want to be doing, and speaking my truth, I don't give a fuck. I don't care about, I care about the implications. I care about the significance, the story, the narrative, the policy. I care about all that stuff and the implications it has for so many people in my life, okay? But I just don't, I don't care about 80-year-old horse races. Horse races between 80-year-olds. My country bums me out, but I'll tell you what. I have not paid attention to the news in about 6 days, and I feel great. Is my head in the sand? No, it's not. I've told you this before. Blocking that stuff out, ignoring it for a week, taking a break, not looking at my phone, not looking at the news. It's not putting my head in the sand. It's me trusting that the shitbox world of corruption, greed, zealotry, self-righteousness, fascism, greed, have I said greed and corruption enough? They are accelerating apace. I don't think that they're gone just because I have stopped paying attention to them so vigilantly over the last 6 days. I trust that they're there. And I trust that when my big weekend is over, I'll be able to look again and see that everything is as disgusting, gross. Gross is really what it is. And I mean that in a judgmental way. It's pretty gross. You know what I mean? We're talking about fertility in Alabama. What, like, you couldn't make this stuff up. I've taken a break, so I feel kind of good. I don't know anything that's going on in the world, in the United States of America, I should say, other than there was a Super Tuesday, and I think the thing is the thing we all knew would be. The thing is the thing we all knew it would be. It will ensue. It will explode. It will continue on. And maybe someday someone will do something about the environment to slow down the destruction of God's green acre. It's wild. When I talk about the environment, when I talk about the degradation of our fertile, but the second time the word fertile's come up, when I talk about the degradation of our sacred feathered nests, I'm as guilty as Exxon, by the way, which someone told me is a good stock buy. There you go. That's where I'm moving these days. A friend recommended I load up on Exxon. That's the kind of, not somebody who said, hey, I have a tip on a horse for you, but someone who said, you know, would you like to get into bed with a petrochemical giant? Try Exxon. The stock is undervalued and trading at a multiple. You know, that's the world where I am. I told you before, I'm very intrigued by trying to take 1 year to make $1 million in the casino that is the stock market. Not day trading. Let's get the fuck out of here, okay? I'm not a crypto bro. I'm talking about a systematic, rigorous, disciplined approach to buying undervalued stock. Anyway, the environment, it's wild because I'm complacent. I'm not doing anything about it. With my little recycling. With my little composting and sorting out of my banana peels and coffee grounds. And, you know, I'm not doing anything. What we all should be doing is standing in the streets yelling, hey, we all, except for those of us who are having that big weekend, we all have something at stake in this world being on fire. And we should really try to just kind of come together and do something about it. And then someone's like, "What? I thought you were a big Exxon supporter." No, I just own part of the company. We all should be in the street doing something, but how do you do that? And it's generational, and this is part of the problem. That sort of lefty liberal, here are all your problems, but here's not a path forward. That's kind of where we are on the environment. Like, what are we all doing? We all should be standing in the streets, but we can't because they've created an environment that incentivizes us to not cooperate. We do more for our unit if we elbow everybody else out of the way and say, give me that. But we should really stand together and help the environment. Fuck you. I'm going to take those flowers out of your front yard and I'm going to sell them. Do you know that I once lived in a house where they stole My wife planted flowers in our front yard. My wife, she was my wife. I was a baby. 22 years ago. 22 years ago. My wife and I lived, first of all, 22 years ago I got married. Thank you very much. That's right. My wife and I did celebrate our 22nd wedding anniversary. And I noticed on that day, we were actually laughing together. On our 22nd wedding anniversary, I know, it's fucking nauseating. I apologize for discussing it. I just know I'm fortunate. So that's all I'm going to say about my wife and me. I'm fortunate. We're lucky to have met. Fortunate to have not, fortunate enough to have respected the relationship and the journey along the way. And here's what I'll say. Maybe this is some incentive. It'll spark you in some way. My wife and I lived in an 800 square foot. It's not to incentivize you or get you. Here's what I want you to think. I want to wrap up that sentence and then tell you, here's some inspiration. Maybe, I don't know. Because I say it every 18 months on the podcast. But first, my wife and I lived in an 800 square foot house in a neighborhood in San Diego. My wife planted flowers in the front yard, and they, in the middle of the night, would yank the flowers out of the fucking yard. Maybe they're saying, go back to the mainland, Howley, because we know what we're doing. We lived on the North Shore of Hawaii, and I was trying to surf pipeline. We lived in a neighborhood that I guess we were gentrifying, but it never gentrified, and it didn't really feel like we were gentrifying it, but I guess we were. But it didn't gentrify, so we failed at that, too. They stole the goddamn flowers out of our yard. And one night, a couple nights, actually, I sat out in the car like a dick, like a detective trying to catch them. Could never catch them. What was I going to do? Attack someone for, I guess so. Tell my wife that I attacked someone? Tell my wife that I ran after them and they just got away? Or get into a fight about someone yanking flowers out of my yard? I think I probably would have tackled them if they weren't as big. You know what I mean? Who knows what would have happened, but that's where I was in that mentality, sitting halfway up the street, watching to see if anyone stole flowers out of my front yard. Here's how I'll use my wife and me being together for 22 years to inspire, to cause you to reflect, compel you to reflect, encourage you to whatever. If you're not with anybody, this is what I want you to take away from this. I say it probably every 18 months on the podcast. You can't know for sure before you link up. First of all, let me say this. Life is easier when you go through it with someone who's on your side. That's the truth. I'm not saying we have to get married and, oh, single people don't have a place. I'm not saying that. Sorry, I didn't want to stop recording. I feel like I'm on a bit of a roll. So apologize for the cough. Life is easier. Meaning is less difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. It's less difficult if you go through life with someone who is on your side, who is active in helping, wanting your best outcomes, wanting what is best for you. Life is better. Life is easier, better, smoother, whatever it is. It's easier. Life is very fucking challenging. Life is hard. Getting it right is hard. And it's less hard when you have someone on your side who's invested in your success, invested in you doing well and getting through life. That's where I will start. So you can say, I'm not ever going to be with anybody. Okay, that's fine. It will be a little less difficult. However, it'll be a little more difficult. However, life is harder going through it side by side with someone who does not want your best outcome, who is not relishing your success and with their hand in yours, accelerating toward positive outcomes for you, for them, for the unit that you've formed. Life is hard to start with, less hard if you're with someone who's on your side, but it's harder if you're with someone who is not on your side, who is a wolf in sheep's clothing, who presents as they're on your side initially, or you even mistake them. Maybe it's not even their fault. You mistake them for being on your side, and they're not. Then you're 2, 3, 7, 9 years into the thing, like, hey, this person's not on my side at all. They're giving me shit for going back to school. They're giving me shit for wanting to get a better job, make more money, buy nicer things, do more in their lives, what makes them feel most like themselves. That's threatening to them. And you find out, wow, they really, and they're 2, 3, like I said, 9 years in, maybe you have a couple of offspring. And what's being modeled for them? This terrible union of people who are, one's trying to live their best life, the other person's trying to be threatened by that and slow them down from that. And the kids grow up to, you know what I mean? You don't want that for your kids. Life is hard, A. Life is less hard with someone on your side, B. And then C, life is harder with someone next to you who's not pulling for your success or is not active in partnering with you. And here come the Chobani twins. I'm making such a good point. I'm going to have to pick this up later. I can't believe it. The Chobani twins are going to walk in this door and they're going to fuck this all up. I'll be back in a few minutes. Well, how full of shit am I? I said I'd be back a couple minutes later, and in a whirlwind of 4 days, 5 days, I'm now back talking to you. This is now the podcast, the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. The Chobani twins came in when I feel like making some really... I was enjoying the conversation. I was enjoying exploring what I feel I know a fair amount about. You know, there's a lot to be said for knowledge and confidence. There's also a lot to be said for lack of knowledge and confidence. That's called ignorance. But you get comfortable talking about things you know something about. And I feel like I have some insight into relationships. Why I didn't finish the podcast is because I'm irresponsible. And you'll notice that there was not a podcast posted on Friday, and I am so sorry for that. I have been traveling, I've been flying around the globe, I've been in a whirlwind of activity, and I let you down. I let you down. I was surrounded by friends and family, and I let you down. And I don't want to do that. So I apologize, and I appreciate you at least listening to this one that you thought was good. Anyway, here's what I would like to say about those relationships. Life is hard. I established all this. What I will say to those of you who may be in relationships you're not certain about, you're somewhat certain about, I believe you cannot know, and I've said it on the podcast, like I said probably every 18 months, I don't keep exact track. You can't know for sure. Selecting a mate to take the journey with requires some risk on both parties' parts. And probably the more you embrace the risk, the greater the payoff can be. But courting, and getting to know someone and determining that you're going to spend the rest of your lives together is in some ways conducting due diligence, right? You want to determine, you want to eliminate as much error and risk from, you know, opening up your heart and your soul and your life to this other person. So you spend some time wrestling around with them in the early days, trying to figure out if you're going to have a go or make a go of it. And I do believe that's important, obviously. What I don't believe in is knowing for certain that the person that you're considering is the one.
And I don't mean like there's more than one out there. The one depends on where you are at the time of your life, basically, right? Where you are timing-wise in your life and someone else's life determines if they can be the one. I don't think there's like, soulmates. Maybe they're, man, what the fuck do I know about soul? Anyway. So much of it is timing. So much of it is where you are in your life. Who do you go? Who do you know when you're 20? More likely to marry someone you meet when you're 26 than you are when you're 14. You're more likely to, you know what I mean? But here's what I believe. I believe in this process of trying to determine if someone is the one, meaning I'm going to jump all in with this person and put myself at risk. I don't think you can know for certain that they are the one. You can't eliminate all the risk. But what I think you can do is you can know that someone is not the one. I believe in that. I believe there are tells in a relationship that determine for you, for us. That's not me. And it probably, I'm speculating, this is an informed speculation, revolves around the expression of values. There's like something that your potential mate does that is inconsistent with your value system. The way they talk to somebody, maybe they see themselves hierarchically as better than someone else, and that sort of gives you pause. That's a needle skipping on a record, to use a term from a from an analog world. Days gone by. I would imagine it's an expression of values that causes you to say, that doesn't seem like, or maybe a fit of violence toward you, their most intimate partner, ostensibly their most intimate partner. Some flash of malevolence, of self-centeredness, of violence, like I said. There's something that you notice, and that contributes to, this is not exactly what I thought it was. Which was, let's be frank, the one. You thought they were the one. And I believe you can't know for certain. But what I do believe is you can know if they are not the one. And the challenge is to listen to that voice. The challenge is to attend to those signals that you have received that are going against your hypothesis, which is this person will be the one for me. And there is evidence coming in that tells you, no, they're not. But because you're so invested in supporting the hypothesis. How about this? Hypothesis testing. You're so invested in supporting the hypothesis that you discount information inconsistent with the hypothesis that is this person is the one. And the invitations go out. The patterns, the seating arrangements are made, and you have two kids with someone that you should have listened to the signals for. I never had to do that, so I'm fortunate. I meaning I did not get information inconsistent with this person is the person for me. So I don't really have any counsel, and I'm not a counselor. I don't really have any. I can't say here's what you do, but I do know it's important to somehow summon the strength and objectivity to listen to those discrepant pieces of information that is discrepant from the hypothesis. I also believe very strongly you gotta be in it to win it. I feel like I know a lot of people from the age of, I'm thinking off the top of my head, from the ages of, let's say, 25 to 55. I know a lot of people that don't date. And I'm not. Look, the last thing not a single person wants to hear is from a married person about anything, and I get that, and I should shut the fuck up. However, you gotta be in it to win it. In life, right? You have to be in it to win it. And if you're not dating, you know what you're not doing, I believe? Well, fuck it, I'll talk about dating. I haven't done it in 22 years. You're not getting at bats. You're not learning how to be in a relationship. This is the self-help part of the podcast, and I'm going to talk for 5 more minutes, and then I'm going to give you the shortened podcast, and then come back with a banger of a 45-minute podcast on Friday. What you're not doing by not dating is you're not learning how to be in a relationship. Meaning, you're not making mistakes. You're not learning what you're good at, what you're not good at, what are potential derailers in your relationship status, relationship, what can get you out of a relationship that you really would have liked to have been in. You got to be in it to win it. You don't roll out of bed and write the great American novel. You roll out of bed and write and then write and keep writing and keep writing. And then maybe someday you write something that's very good. Similarly, you have to learn how to be in a relationship. You have to learn what works for you. I hope this doesn't sound too high and mighty, because I really don't mean it that way. It's something I feel like I have some perspective into it. I just don't want it to sound like, hey, I got really lucky to meet this lady. But I was in it. I shot my shot. I met my wife over the phone. And I shot my shot. And she was pretty desperate. No, I shot my shot and made her laugh a few times and began a relationship over the phone in a 10-minute work call. Am I great? Yeah. You got to be in it to win it, and you got to learn how to be in relationships. My wife and I each had a relationship that we would characterize as significant before we met one another. You learn what you like, you learn what you don't like, you learn what you know what you probably learn more than anything, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, is how to respect the relationship, really attend to it. My juggling instructor made a good point one time where he said relationships require momentum. I think that's good. You don't want to be sedentary. Probably to be successful in life, you need momentum in any endeavor. And he's a successful dude. But we each had a relationship prior, so we had at-bats, we had practice. And I think also importantly, now I'm just talking about myself. I want to get back to talking about you hypothetically in your dating scenarios. Write in and tell me. YesJoeSmith@gmail.com. Send me a message on Instagram @YesJoeSmith. My wife and I each come from divorced homes, and certainly that informs our own wariness of relationships, probably, but also it shows us what we want and don't want. I had powerful models for what I did not want to be in a relationship, and I've tried my very best. My wife is just a better person, so it probably wasn't as much effort or thought, but if you're not in it, if you're not on the apps, which drive you crazy and are disgusting and gross, and I hear from women that all men want to do is, well, you know what? That's what we do. We like to get down. But you're not learning how to be in a relationship. And I think you're better in a relationship when you've done it once or twice. You know? That's what I think. I really am sorry for not putting the podcast up on Friday. And I'm glad that I will have this up for Tuesday's podcast. Like I said, I've been spun around. I will have, though, for you on Friday, 45 minutes of good, fresh, hot. I told you I took 7 days or whatever it was off from the media. Not looking at my phone too much. And it's liberating. Again, I'm not talking about burying your head and pretending like everything's okay. I'm just talking about, like, fuck, I don't know, like the navel gazing of us and me and USA and us and them, and I don't know. It's just kind of liberating to step away from it for a minute. So let this be just a respite for you from all of that. Getting to hear me talk about relationships and saying what I think about them. And with anything, you gotta be in it to win it. And I'm glad you're in it with me. And I'll talk to you on Friday.